get colder if you heat it first, you know.
It's what? Okay, we're getting a confession here. He's gonna tell us about the only mean thing he ever did. All right, Jim, go ahead.
You had a bunch of cats hanging around the barn. Never liked cats very well anyway, but they got no place hanging around quick and some milk. They hung around, I always tried to make them scared, so when you say scat, why they scat, you know, I tried to make them wild. Well, I'll never do this, but one time I took a string and tied tails of two of them together, not close so they fight like some people do, about 3 or 4 feet. And they both do a little bit, and I think they ran around the barn once for them. They went down where the lower silo was, and they decided what that stairs, you know, the upstairs, you know. They ran up there side to side and the door was shut. So down they came. They went down the lower barn and up over the stalls, you know, between box stalls.
Yeah.
They made a leap for these thin layers, you know, how to rock the top down the bottom. One man didn't. And I had to take a knife and cut that string.
Because there was a cat hanging on either side?
One down the ventilator.
No doubt.
One down the ventilator.
One was down the ventilator trying to go outside. And the other was in the room, standing on the inside. Well, I got rid of that quick because I was afraid Daddy or somebody come walking in. And of course, after I did it, it's cause to run. I kind of wish I hadn't because I was afraid Daddy come in. Now, that would have been too bad. I mean,
I'm going to spoil this good opinion of you.
I think that's the only time I ever did anything around there that I really shouldn't have done. It's kind of mean, you know.
Well, the worst thing to do is to take two cats and tie a tail together and hang them over a wire.
No, I took a string about this big so they didn't get together. I thought they'd just pull them each way, but they ran together like a team of horses.
Did you see people doing that on the farm?
No.
He was a turnabout, huh? No, Daddy was telling about an even worse situation. Yours, the cats were unharmed.
Tie them close together and then throw them over the clothesline.
I've never seen that. That's me.
Did anybody do that?
No. I often thought I'd like to tie Trevor onto somebody and hang him over the clothesline.
Tell me about the butchering. Was it Halverson?
That's the name that sticks in my mind. Have been.
Where would you do the butchering? Do you remember details of it?
Out there by the barn.
Oh, right. Right out in the open.
Right out in the open where?
I suppose down there at the barn.
Probably in the doorway of the little lean-to on the ice house.
I used to have that one while I was now, and I pictured there one time. And Dave Clark and I had a picture taken together. We fixed up a hog's head. A stake, you know, and there we stayed. The two hogs are right here in front, big ears, snout, everything. Look at it, you just couldn't tell what it was.
You mean the two of you were there with that?
Right. I don't remember who took a picture. I may have that one, I may have lost it.
Why don't you look for it? I'd like to make a copy of it if you've got one at home. I'll have a little more, Dad. Well, I remember once you butchered a cow out in the new garage, but that, of course, was much later. That's fine.
Did Dr. Russell practice quite a while here, boy?
Oh, yeah. And finally got married.
Remember when I came here, there was some older veterinarian.
Patterson.
You couldn't depend on him very much, I don't think, because he drank better, didn't he?
Patterson.
And Dr. Russell came in, he just picked up his business.
Living way out of this Captain Island.
He may have come in later, though. But we've had him for father and son for 40 years anyway.
He was around when I was a kid. Remember any of the vet situations down there in the barn when you were herdsman? Cow troubles or?
I guess I remember some, just these two things you run into. I don't suppose any bad accident, I think. Got it all good.
He was telling us about the bull's corny grandpa and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Who was that?
A bull cornering grandpa and cornering somebody else.
Cornering Griffiths.
Yeah,
Claire Matthews saved both grandpa at one time and Griffiths at another time. One of them was on top of the manure pile, and the bull was ripping away at the manure pile with his horns, demolishing the manure pile, and as soon as he toppled the person on top, he would have demolished him. And that was either Grandpa or Griffiths, I forget which. I think it was Grandpa that was on the manure pile, wasn't it? Okay, that was Grandpa on the manure pile, and Griffiths under the manger. That must have been some vicious bull. It was probably the same one. Old bull, young bull.
Old bull would...
Afraid to put them together.
Kill a young bull or vice versa. And they both had the horns. I think. Maybe not. Anyway, we put them at the bullpen together. And the young bull was showing his spirit and so forth. You know, but go look at him. Got down and slammed into his side and drove him against the fence. Backed off again. The little bull caught it in the far corner and just stood there. After that, there was no more argument.
Jim, was the bull walk on the farm when you were there?
No.
How did you exercise him, other than running furiously, as Jehu did?
Driving.
Driving furiously.
Well, I guess they used to live once in a while, but otherwise I don't know whether it had an outside lot or not. Just keep them down there next to the horse park and the big box park.
When I was little, there was the bull walk that they went around on a treadmill. You didn't have that?
No.
We had a treadmill out by the horse park. Then another time I had a sweep that tree trunk balanced on a post and tied it at the end of that. And the trouble was that...
Walked by himself or what?
Well, he walked by himself, but then he wouldn't walk. It wouldn't do much good. No, I don't like to put that on. I don't even know what
it is. So he didn't go anywhere, he just stood still, huh? I can remember fastening Craig to the bull sweep and making him walk round and round. That was one of the things we did to poor Craig.
You want to meet with that?
No.
Did you work the ventilation system on the barn?
We used to adjust it all the time according to the weather, humidity, and such.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was handled for years, very meticulously.
How about saying something about that system, because I don't have much on that yet.
I'd have to look at it again and refresh my mind what it was.
Okay, well, when we see it, let's talk about it then.
It seemed to me, Ron, that the openings were pretty well at the top,
yeah.
And they came down. And outside the barn would be about this high, but inside would be high. And we had these little shutters that you would take a stick and you'd push them shut, open them up. But you had to watch both temperature and humidity. Of course, you got a lot of windows next to the silo.
Then you had chutes, the silo chute and the
hay chute.
And another hay chute.
Well, it was a wooden chute that wasn't a hay chute.
Yeah, it went all the way to the top of the barn, and you could, when the thing was operating, well, you could put a handkerchief in there.
That gave a lot of ventilation, but the wind was blowing a lot. You had to close some of the others. There would just be a gale moving across the cows and up.
Well, in the later days, they got so they wouldn't use it, and I tried to make them last a day or so. A lot of humidity in there, you know.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I don't think that people could return to the cattle as much as bad humidity. Stay on air. That was one of them, so on down nights, and Daddy Blue was all putting cows to bed because later in the evening, you just began to have to, rather than just leave at 6 o'clock when you got through.
You'd adjust the ventilation, too, when you'd go down then.
Well, you'd always do it if needed.
Mm-hmm. You were quite a young man when you came. Did you need any training in on being herdsman?
Did I have any then?
Did you need any training in? Did Grandpa?
I needed a lot.
So who trained you in, Grandpa?
Much training. He let me turn in this morning. I spent a lot of times he caught me on the sun, straightened me out and scolded me. He was pretty good.
Up from Tonica.
I was raised on dairy farm down there. Then I had, just before I came up here, I worked for a fellow down the Cal Block. Remember that name, Block? Jersey Farm, down the Cal.
I remember the name of that fellow.
The herdsman down there, I don't know whether he lived or not. Parents of Page. You ever heard that name? Well, he had a brother on the planet. Roy Lake. You remember Roy? Because I knew something about it here before Daddy answered the letter. But when he did, I told Page that's where I was going. And he told me a lot about it because of Roy Lake. Had worked here. Riding back and forth, going to do something about it. Now, the Page and Lake were both down the years.
You mean literally? They lived over there and came here?
Yeah, they were natives over there, yes.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask Dad was about his visit to the Isle of Guernsey. Because I'd like to say something about it if there's something to say.
Well, I don't remember too much about it. I remember the crossing. Jersey.
You must have crossed to get to Jersey, too.
Yeah.
From France.
Yeah. And I had a letter of introduction from Charles Hill of Rosendale, Wisconsin, and imported Jersey for a long time. Imported and resold them. Our first registered Jerseys came from Charles Hill. So I had
he had gotten them from the Isle of Guernsey?
Yeah.
So we might have had some cows that had been on the Isle of Guernsey, or would they have been daughters?
Yeah. No, they would have been on the Isle of Guernsey.
Or you mean we had immigrants then on our farm? The cows actually came from the Isle of Guernsey.
When it says imported, that means they were imported from the Isle of Guernsey.
So Grandpa's early cows came from the Isle of Guernsey?
Three. I persuaded him to attend a sale and picked up these three cows.
How old were you?
Young man, 16 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, the story's getting better and better. Go on. So that was why you wanted to go to the Isle of Guernsey?
Yes, but I wanted to go to the Isle of Guernsey because we had Guernsey cattle and wanted to catch some off there.
No, and because we had Guernsey cows and...
And I had these connections.
Yeah, I know, but lots of places are nearby when you're in France. Not everybody chooses to go to the Isle of Grimsey.
Leave a wife.
And leave a new bride.
Well, at any rate, I went there and presented my credentials, and I was welcomed with open arms. They thought that I was another importer, or Charles Hill would say, did him right, why they did. So they produced me a chauffeur, Model 2 Ford. He toured the Isle of Guernsey for 2 or 3 days and stopped at all the proper feeding places. There was a bull at that time that had won all the honors in the Guernsey world called Governor of the Sheen.
Governor of the Sheen?
Governor of the Sheen or something.
Governor of the Sheen, okay.
And went to his farm and down in Buffalo to get into the house and in the ceiling below. And they have one room set apart for the medals of this recognition of this bull that gave the Guernsey world. Just a room for them. It's like really Mount Vernon or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would stop, and I would take a dip in the ocean, and a man would wait for me. In fact, I had a delightful time.
Where did you sleep and eat? Was that all taken care of?
I took care of that. I stayed at the hotel a night or two.
Oh, and then you'd fan out from the hotel with your private chauffeur in your private Model T Ford.
What?
What?
On Jersey. I left him on Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was before the war.
No, that was 1924.
That's it. Before World War II.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how the Isle of Jersey fared, but I think the Germans took and slaughtered an awful lot down in Jersey. I never heard how the other kind of made out.
Why did I haven't heard of it?
Because while they were putting like an ad to them over here and saving them, they were a lot of destroying.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they couldn't be too excited.
Well, we drove all over Jersey. I think we rented a car or something.
You and Appleby?
Yeah. And little Waddy Adams, about 9 years old, running those little boys.
Mm-hmm.
He's now the top man in Jacksonville, Illinois. Waddy was happening.
I better go see him.
I will.
Because you and he spent time on the Isle of Jersey together, huh?
Well, in the memorial.
Well, I knew that at the memorial. But I didn't realize he was in Jacksonville.
You see him all the time.
If I were to invite him over to my house to a reading of the Round Barn, do you think he'd come? I'm going to do it for the English department.
He doesn't know anything about the Round Barn.
He knows you.
Well,
he knows.
I'm sure you have a way with you. But he has a finger in every pie there.
Yeah, better wait until he gets more and then meetings and all of that stuff.
I'm going to invite Metcalf. Isn't Metcalf Harper's grandson?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm going to be doing that this fall sometime.
Well,
but I've got...
Wait, come in.
Well, I'll invite him and the Metcalfs.
Yeah.
Are they related?
No.
Okay. Well, then why did Appleby go to the Isle of Jersey? What was his interest in going to Jersey?
Well, he was interested in everything. I don't know why he went to Jersey. He had some farm interest.
Did you persuade him? Did you say you were intending to go?
I can't remember how.
They both decided to go at the same time. Appleby had all sorts of land and Jacksonville and lots of money. And
Yep.
And he was the husband of Alice Appleby.
But tell me what that's got to do with the Isle of Jersey.
Well, it has to do probably they had Jersey on their farm for the census.
So he wasn't interested in going on over to Guernsey?
I think there was something that he was going to... did he come back to the... memorial before I did?
I don't think so.
Well, I came back alone.
I don't know. If he and Lottie may have come back, I'd like to have been screwed or something.
I was following a bunch of boys from the University of Illinois, and they had a young leader on a tour, and I'd run across that tour every once in a while around the island. And when I got back to the mainland, I sat on one side of one of the jet-out chair booth, something, maybe a chair booth, but I was sitting on the west side in the little town, and 50 miles away on the other side of this, you call it peninsula, juts out?
Yeah, the peninsula.
On the other side, I sat there for 3/4 of a day waiting to make my train connection. And just on the other side was Mont Saint-Michel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know it was there. Well, I caught the train back to Paris. And this young fellow was with these boys, like boys group. They weren't boys at that time. Anyway, they
16-year-old kids?
Yeah.
Or older?
And they'd earned a trip. So it was too late to get back to Cafeteria that night, and so I went to the minor room and was getting on the bus.
Where, in Paris?
In Paris. And he came busted into the room and he says, these kids are certainly getting on my nerve here. We're leaving Paris tomorrow and I haven't seen anything up there. Let's go out. And I'd been around Paris very little, but he thought I was habitué, you know. How about going to Maxine's? And so we went to Maxine's, and I didn't go back. You entered the place then, on Rue Royale.
Mm-hmm.
You entered the place, was met by a big bar, and then you went around the side of the bar, and seats on one side, and an alley down, and then a eating place beyond. Well, you could belly up to the bar, but if you went back around, there was a covered charge. And I was tight enough so that I didn't want a covered charge. So I slipped into the seats facing the bar with him. There were all sorts of people going on there. Everybody had a good time. There was a gentleman that got along with us like that. All it is that you have to open from the top by hooking up, you know.
Yeah, like a tied school. Go on.
You had to hook something over the top to put them down.
Mm-hmm.
Or push them up and the thing was about 12 feet long. Well, this old drunk gentleman got hold of one of those and pretended that a crack in the floor down the center of this alleyway towards the dining section was a tightrope. So he took this bar, balance itself on this back on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And proceeded to walk that tightrope, and as he walked along, by this end of the tightrope could shoot the tables and hit somebody on the head or knock off his glass, and then he found it down while he hit the bar, and really got him out of control.
Well, no, it wasn't a planned floor show.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, did your acquaintance from the University of Illinois have a good time?
We had a really good time.
What about the boys? They stayed home in the...
Have I told you the story here about picking up a girl there?
No.
Well, I don't want to tell these people.
Well?
But he and I, this boy and I were sitting there watching the bar, and there was a group at the bar. One very good-looking girl, and a couple of very young, very drunk young Frenchmen. And she was remonstrating with them. And they said, well, let's go out to Montmartre. And she said, no, no, no. Oh, let's go to Montmartre. And she says, well, after that. And one of them said, it's a thing unknown. It shows I can do. And she was shaking her head, and they were very drunk. The boys were men. And I got up and said, you either want to get away from these clouds? And she spoke almost perfect English. And she said, yes, let's slide in here. I was in the drink. No, honestly, I slid in. I was sitting between the University of Illinois man and the girl. Something. Doesn't matter. Anyway, he could hear us, me talking to her. I asked her if she really wanted to get away, and she said she did. And I said, she'd had a drink, we were talking, and I was using my French to impress the Illinois guy. And she was talking French. And then she would collapse into a very good English. And I can't remember the details of it, but every once in a while he nudged me, so I must have been sitting next to him. What'd you say? And I was telling what she said. Something shot me. And she said something in English. I said, where did you learn your English? She said, in France, I lived with a young Englishman several years. What'd you say? She said, she lived with a young Englishman for a couple of years. That's where she lived with French.
Her English.
Her English. And then I said, what happened to her? I think she made him come home and get married. What'd you say? So I had a good time with that. And then we got out of the Peace Bar. Bistro.
Bistro, okay.
But a very famous bistro.
Uh-huh.
Maxine's. But then I was too tight to get a taxi, and she was mincing along. We were very close to Champs-Élysées.
Mm-hmm.
You must have been
the doctor was not along. This was on my way back.
I was
showing this young man from Illinois to University of Illinois that wanted to get away from his charges. Name I can't even remember.
I don't know if
it's because you were selling an alpha. Well, I showed alpha in the Isle of Jersey. I showed each other. I don't remember anything of that.
Well, Mother, you've interrupted at a very crucial point. It doesn't sound like the sort of evening that the Dad would have taken the doctor to.
Well, I didn't expect to take myself to it. I was caught between impressing this young man and getting tied up with the lady of the night.
Well, we're very close to the Champs-Élysées, and she's marked mincing along, I presume, in a tight skirt and high heels.
High heels. We turned out she's the Champs-Élysées, and then my conscience hurt me, and I said, maybe we'd better take a taxi. And she says, no, it's not that. And I said, well, what's the matter? Your fake is fake pee-pee.
Okay, she has to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And I said, the English young man is watching what's going on. There are low bushes along the Champs-Élysées where I'm on the walk to the flowers. So I turned around and picked her up and set her over the bushes, dragged her to a bunch of lilacs. She went around on one side, and I went around on the other. Pretty soon we emerged and went back and joined our young man.
He was no doubt open mouth.
The things that go on, see?
In France.
Well, there was a lot of things you don't know.
Okay, well then how did the evening finally come out?
My conscience was bothering me by that. Here was this girl in the high heels, 1:30 in the morning or something like that. I had a wife waiting for me. I wanted to get out of here. I was ready to go home and go to bed. So I signaled the taxi, and we all got into the taxi, and went for the 5 or 6 blocks to North Seattle apartment. And then she wanted us to come out to her apartment. And that's where I said no, but I'm not going to ask her to put my account in my apartment. And my American
friend... What did you say? Can we just say it? Okay. Okay.
Well, anyway, she appeared somewhat disappointed, and I got back in the taxi and
he didn't stay, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't offer, you didn't tell him that if he wanted to stay, he could?
I could have done that.
Well, you were taking care of him.